This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
But right now, we go to Rome for the Pope's general weekly audience. Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent with the latest from the Holy Father and the latest news from Vatican and the European continent. Good morning, Ashley. How are you?
Buongiorno, John. I am doing fantastically and happy to welcome you to Rome this morning.
I got to work on my Italian and the way to roll those R's the way you do that so perfectly, because difficulty just getting good morning out instead of buongiorno. But nonetheless, today the Holy Father and the general weekly audience was held indoors, and that's because of the weather. It'll eventually go outdoors with some social distancing as well. And the Holy Father was talking about recognizing the dignity in every the human dignity in every person, and this is in connection with the coronavirus pandemic.
That's right. In fact, last week, you may remember that he began that series on Catholic social teaching, all in light of the pandemic, as you mentioned, John. And so today he noted specifically how the pandemic has brought to light how very vulnerable we all are and how interconnected we are. He said that the way for our world to heal is to take care of one another, starting with the least amongst us. And he gave kudos to people who daily are doing that, even at the risk of their own lives. He mentioned that the virus has brought to light that many of us have a distorted view of the human person, are not able to see people in relation to the rest of the world, or even in relation to others around them. And so it's easy, if we don't have that vision, that people can be seen as objects that can be used, that can be discarded, and that people can be seen almost like consumer goods. But instead, if we're guided by faith, we recognize that God has created men and women not as objects, but as people who are loved by God, who are capable of loving, and who are made in his image and likeness. So today at the audience, Pope Francis prayed specifically that the Lord restore our sight so that we can all rediscover what it means to be members of the human family. And he asked specifically for Mary's intercession to overcome the pandemic. He pointed to the fact that we are just a few days away from the solemnity of the Assumption of Our Lady on the 15th, and so asked for her intercessory prayers. Now, when he greeted the Polish-speaking faithful who would have been watching the audience via live streaming, he referenced what's called the miracle of the Vistula. Now, this is a miracle that happened exactly 100 years ago on the 15th of August of 1920. And this is when the Polish army beat the Soviet forces at the Battle of Warsaw. And it was all attributed to the prayers and the intercession of Our Lady. So today, this day is also marked as Polish Armed Forces Day. So he asked that we all ask Our Lady in a similar way to defeat the coronavirus and to bring victory. Now, he gave special messages to each of the language groups about the upcoming Assumption. And to the Germans, he said that we have to remember that this solemnity, it reveals the sublime dignity which God has bestowed on humanity. And he asked us all to ask the Lord for the grace of humility so that the Lord might do great things in us as he did in Our Lady, John.
Ashley Nerona live from Rome with the latest in the Pope's general weekly audience here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We have been talking about and just putting the threat of COVID-19 through a lot of our conversations here, especially as it applies to going back to school as the new school year starts right across the country. What's the latest on the virus and how Italy is coping? And again, you've been a little ahead of the curve than we have.
Yes. Well, John, we've had a small uptick in the last few days, but really the key word there is small. Now, out of our population of 60 million in the country of Italy, to give you an example, on the 10th of August, there were 259 new cases. The 12th, there were 412 new cases in the country. So that, again, that's a small uptick. But masks have been now made obligatory through the end of August. That applies for when you're inside any enclosed public space. There's still a ban on, for example, nightclubs have not reopened. Large public gatherings are not allowed. The state of emergency that Italy had implemented has now been extended through the end of October. And that means that the government can continue to implement travel bans. It also just means that they can make any emergency procedures without having to cut through red tape. But John, I also want to share with you some of the fun ways that Italians are being creative right now, despite this time of restriction. And one of those ways is the revival of the use of what are called bucchette del vino. Now that would be translated as wine windows. So imagine this, these tiny little windows that are just big enough to slip a hand and a glass of wine or beer right through. Now, the origin of these little windows goes back to the 14th century, to the time of the plague and the Black Death. And so the wine windows were introduced as part of anti-contagion measures. So the idea was to allow merchants to sell wine without coming in direct contact with the customers. So you can imagine what an interesting experience it is, because it's as though this magic hand kind of appears out of nowhere. And depending on the type of business that's housed inside, people are also selling gelato through the wine windows, coffee, even books. Now, believe it or not, there are more than 150 of these little wine windows throughout Tuscany specifically. Many, though, have been lost over the centuries, many sealed up, for example. But these wine windows are right now being used in 27 Tuscan towns. And
wow,
you're not going to believe it, but there's a Wine Windows Association that has created a website so people can go throughout and visit wine windows all over Tuscany.
How do you place the order?
Right. You know what? I'm not exactly sure. Now, maybe what they do is right there at the window, you give your order. Maybe you slip a piece of paper. I'm not sure how mm-hmm. they've creatively responded to that. But I think that's part of the mystique of this whole thing. And I would love to go find one of these in Tuscany.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Like a lot of fun.
Hey, Glenn, maybe next year at the Minnesota State Fair, because I know it's not going to happen this year, you do the accordion window. That could be your exhibit.
I don't think they'll open it, though. You know.
Oh,
then you would have to listen to Glenn play the accordion. Then you have to go to the wine window to just, I understand how that works. Exactly. We always make terrible fun of Glenn's accordion playing. You ought to hear me play the organ. Glenn is a maestro at the accordion. You don't want to hear me near the organ. So, you know, I'll share some of that news with you this morning. Ashley Nerona is live from Rome here this morning with the latest news on Vatican and what is happening in Italy. The Perseid meteor shower is something that's going to happen. And I'm hopeful that you're in a part of the country where you can see this and there's not cloud cover, because it's absolutely beautiful. And I don't know how many of you know that it's connected to a saint.
That's right. Exactly. You know, this meteor shower happens every year around the feast of St. Lawrence Martyr. Now, his feast we just celebrated on the 10th of August. Now, to give you some context here, this is the good deacon who, of course, met his end when he was grilled to death here in Rome. And you may remember that he's the very saint who's known for that clever quip to his captors when he said, "You can turn me over. I'm done on this side." Now, each year, because his feast day corresponds with the meteor shower, those showers have been nicknamed here in Italy the Tears of St. Lawrence. So what happens, the reason is that as people look up and they see those minute little particles of ice and dust that are forming these comets and creating this shooting star effect, the tradition came to be that those flecks of light in the sky represent the sparks of the fire that martyred St. Lawrence on the 10th of August of 258 AD. So I'm happy to say that here in Italy, it's tonight and tomorrow night that we're going to be able to see, you know, this has been going on since July, the shower, but it's tonight and tomorrow night that we'll be able to see it most prominently. And so wherever you are in the world, if you have the chance to witness this, be sure to ask for the intercession of St. Lawrence the Deacon, and of course, to ask for that same kind of courage that the good martyr had to give his life for the truth. So, John, that's what's happening over here in the Eternal City.
That's great. The latest news from Rome in the Vatican. Is the North American College, are the seminarians coming back yet? What's going to happen for the upcoming year?
Yeah, they are coming back. In fact, they're coming back a month later than they typically would have returned. But as of now, all systems are go. All of the pontifical universities have not necessarily announced, though, how they are going to do courses. So, for example, my husband John and I teach at a pontifical university here. We're still waiting to know whether that means that we'll be teaching online or how that's going to work. So everybody is still kind of awaiting marching orders, but the NACRs are going to be coming back soon. And we look forward to even a little bit of semblance of normalcy around here.
Yeah, we pray for all those seminarians going to the North American College and at seminaries all across the country. Very large class down at the St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington, D.C., St. Charles Borromeo in Philadelphia as well, and a very, very, very big class of seminarians in the Diocese of Providence as well. So thanks be to God for those answered prayers for vocations. Ashley Nerona is an American living in Rome. She teaches crisis communications and media training to priests and seminarians, and she and her husband John have founded the Truth and Beauty Project, and that provides a Renaissance-style theological formation for those of you who visit Rome, and you can find out more at truthandbeautyproject.com. And one more plug for Ashley. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant in Rome podcasts, and that's on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app. Ashley, all the best to you and John. We'll talk next week.
I look forward to that. Sempre un piacere.
I got to learn Italian here. I got to keep up here. I'm just way behind the curve. Thanks, Ashley.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Nerona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.